great new American weekly brings you Front Page Drama.
Now, now, son, don't blame Alva. She's probably got her reasons for wanting to get married again.
I've got my reasons for coming here today, Sheriff. I've been quiet about this long enough, but now I'm convinced. I think my brother Cliff was murdered, and I think Alva had something to do with his death.
A devoted brother questions the official report that his brother died a natural death. Listen as the great new American Weekly brings you another fascinating story in this Front Page Drama. Cliff and Alva Hoffey had lived the entire 10 years of their married life on a prosperous farm in the south of Illinois back in the horse and buggy days. Although 10 years older than his wife, Cliff appeared to be in the best of health, and it was a shocked countryside that learned of his untimely death at the age of 40. 3 months or so after his death, his brother Emmett Hoffey drove out to the farm one afternoon to visit the widowed Alva.
Oh. Morning, Alva. Nice day today.
Well, as I live and breathe, if it ain't Emmett Hoffey, my dear brother-in-law. What do I owe the honor of this unexpected visit?
Well, I heard some news in town yesterday, and I just wanted to check with you to see if it was true.
Well, go right ahead and check. What'd you hear, Emmett?
I heard that you was going to marry Charlie Flynn, and I just couldn't believe my ears, what with Cliff dead only 3 months.
Well, you heard just right, see? I've mourned Cliff long enough now, and this farm needs a man to run it. Anyway, Cliff wouldn't want me to mope around mourning.
I think it's fine you want to marry again, Alva. Only thing is, I think it could wait just a little longer. I ain't sure Cliff would like the idea you're marrying Charlie Flynn. Them two never did hit it off so good, and
you better hold your tongue about Charlie, Emmett Hoffey. All I have to do is tell him you're out here bothering me. He'll put you in your place, all right.
You don't scare me none, Alva. Neither you nor Charlie. But you've given me an idea, all right. Yes, sir, you've given me an idea. I think I'll drive into town where folks are more friendly. See you around, Alva. Get up, Dolly.
Arriving in the nearby town of Hillsboro, Emmett Hoffey went directly to the office of County Sheriff Creighton.
Here, come in.
Hi, Sheriff.
Well, Emmett Hoffey, come in, boy. Oh, say, Emmett, I was away on vacation when they buried poor old Cliff. Haven't had a chance to extend Mrs. Creighton's and my sympathy. Gosh, what a shame. He was in the prime of life. Successful, apparently healthy, and then, all of a sudden, gone, just like that.
Yeah, Sheriff, sure was a shock to me. As a matter of fact, that's why I come in here today, talk about Cliff.
Well, I don't blame you, son. He was a good brother to you and a man worth talking about. Well, I remember him as a boy, no higher than that wastebasket there. And I remember his wedding, too. About 10 years ago it was that he and Alva got married.
And, did you hear she's getting married again, Sheriff?
She's... Alva, she's getting married again, you see? Well, well, is that so? Well, I suppose women don't like being alone on a farm that size.
You mean you haven't heard who the new bridegroom's going to be?
Why, no, son, I can't say as I have.
Charlie Flynn.
Charlie Flynn?
Yeah, Sheriff. That dirty little tramp.
Now, son, don't blame Alva. She's probably got her reasons for doing this.
And I've got my reasons for coming here today, Sheriff. I've been quiet about this long enough, but now I'm convinced. I think my brother Cliff was murdered, and I think Alva had something to do with his death.
Now, careful what you're saying, boy.
I mean it. That's why I came to see you. Seems impossible that someone as healthy as Cliff would just up and die like that.
Yeah, but the coroner's report says that Cliff died of tetanus poisoning. According to what I hear, Cliff cut his hand while he was butchering and got infected.
That's all true, Sheriff. Cliff cut his hand and he was sick, sure. But it was nothing he couldn't get over with right care. So I went on a trip to Milwaukee. Next thing I knew, I get a telegram he's dying.
Ah, terrible thing.
When I get back, it was near the end. Alva letters. Alva letters, he gasped. I don't know what he meant. I still don't.
Well, did you ask Alva what she thinks he meant about the letters?
Well, first she said she had no idea. Now she won't even talk about him. She practically ordered me off the farm today. Sheriff, do you think there was anything between Alva and Flynn before Cliff died?
Hmm?
I mean, well, did you ever hear any gossip?
Oh, can't say as I did, son.
Alva bailed Flynn out once about a year ago when he got in trouble. But, well, that was just probably a neighborly gesture.
She did? Did Cliff know about that?
I don't know, son.
Sheriff, I want to reopen this case.
But, son, you ain't got a case. There's nothing to go on. The death certificate's on file. The estate's all settled. That's all there is to it.
Then you ain't going to help me.
I can't, son. There's nothing to go on. I can understand about you being angry about Alva's getting married so fast, but, well, there's no law that says she can't. Now, I'd advise you to drop the whole thing, boy. Just drop the whole thing.
Maybe you're right, Sheriff. But I ain't aiming to drop it. I'll follow through with this thing in my own way. I'll find out just how my brother did die.
Listen in just a moment as the New American Weekly brings you the surprising climax to this front-page drama. In the coming issue of the great New American Weekly, Broadway's most distinguished reporter, Maurice Zolotoff, writes about Broadway's most distinguished star, Miss Tallulah Bankhead. Zolotoff, author of No People Like Show People and the forthcoming book It Takes All Kinds, purports to tell what Miss Bankhead isn't telling in her book of memoirs just published. It's Mr. Zolotoff's private opinion that while she's the envy of many American women, Miss Bankhead is also a lonely and unhappy woman. You'll be interested in this timely and informative feature, along with many others, coming your way in this next week's Great New American Weekly, distributed with a leading Sunday newspaper on sale in this city. And now back to our front page drama. Emmett Hoffey, convinced that his late brother had not died a natural death 3 months previously, attempted in vain to enlist the aid of the sheriff in his cause. Several weeks passed, and one day he encountered Charlie Flynn on the main street of Hillsboro.
Well, if it ain't Mr. Emmett Hoffey himself in person.
Hello, Flynn.
Well, no congratulations for the new bridegroom. You and I must be some kind of relatives or other, ain't we?
Let's drop that subject right off, Flynn.
Oh, come on now, Emmett. No reason why we should be bad friends. Alva's none too keen on you, I know, but... Well, women don't understand these things sometimes. How about a drink over at the Silver Dollar, Emmett?
All right, Flynn, I'll have a drink.
Well, now you got the right attitude. Come on, boy. Well, what'll it be, my friend?
I'll have a beer, thanks.
Yeah. Make it 2 beers, bartender. Oh, and some of them dill pickles you got there. Well, they're keeping you busy, Emmett?
Well, I haven't been doing much since, well, since Cliff passed away.
And... Yeah. Bad break, Emmett. Very bad break.
Yeah.
Hey, you get around the county a lot. You happen to know anybody who'd take charge of the farm for a month or so? But Alva and I are going to Chicago. I want to look up some new farm machinery there, and, well, we want to have ourselves a little fun, too. But I'll be darned if everybody I know ain't working. Can't find nobody to take over for me.
Well, I'd offer my own services, only I know Alva'd never go for that.
Well, you mean you'd take the job?
Well, why not? I know all about that farm. I could run the place blindfolded.
Why, sure you could, but I never thought you'd want to do it.
Well, the only thing standing in the way would be Alva.
Well, don't you worry about her, boy. I'm running things in this family. If you want the job of looking after that farm while we're gone, boy, you got it.
It's a deal, then?
It's a deal. I'll tell Alva about it when I go home to supper. Hey, bartender, 2 more beers here.
Several days after the newly married Charlie Flynn's had been away, and Emmett Hoffey had taken over managing the farm, he paid another call on Sheriff Creighton.
Come in.
Hi, Sheriff.
Well, Emmett, good to see you again. Draw up a chair, son.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Well, Emmett, you take my advice. You decide to stay out of Charlie and Elva's affairs?
Well, not exactly, Sheriff. You see, I went to work for Flynn last week.
You went to work for Flynn?
That's right, Sheriff. Watching the farm while they're in Chicago. Glad I did, too.
Well, well. Life's full of surprises.
Yeah, Sheriff. Like these letters. Read them and tell me what you think.
Upon their return from Chicago, Alva and Charlie Flynn were summoned to the office of Sheriff Creighton.
And in looking through your house, Alva, Emmett here found a couple of letters which I'd like to have explained to me.
Oh, dear, you go looking through my house when I'm away. I'll have you arrested for thievery, that's what...
Shut up, Alva.
Afraid I can't arrest Emmett here for trespassing when you left him in charge of him. Now, maybe you'll explain about these threatening letters which were sent to Cliff before he died.
There's nothing to explain. They come in the mail to him, that's all.
But on his deathbed, he gasped something about you and letters to Emmett. Didn't he, Emmett?
That's right, Sheriff.
That's a lie. Cliff said nothing of the kind.
Well, the truth about that'll come out at the trial.
What do you mean, trial?
I mean that I'm arresting you for the murder of your first husband, Cliff Hoffey. The writing on those letters matches up with your own writing, Elva.
You're crazy. Charlie, tell him he's making a mistake. Tell him he...
Now, it's a tough break, baby. I'll do whatever I can. Sheriff, I'd like to go and get Lawyer Hawkins to come here and talk to Alva.
Sorry, I can't allow that, Flynn. You'll have to stay on here in jail along with Alva.
Well,
you see, Emmett found another letter. You want to read that one, Emmett?
Sure do, Sheriff. It's in a woman's handwriting, Alva, and it says, "Darling Charlie, I fixed it Saturday night in some grape juice like you told me to. It shouldn't be long now. I've done everything in my power to free myself so we can be together, and I'm sure that will be soon. As ever, your true one, Alva."
And that letter involves you as an accomplice, friend.
It's a lie. I didn't write any such letter.
Yeah, and I never got no such letter.
Well, Emmett...
You both wrote them. You both received them, all right. And you were both up to the same game, holding on to them in secret in case the truth about Cliff's death ever came out. Only you both made a great mistake, the same mistake. You chose for a hiding place for these evil letters a big family Bible at Cliff's farm. And I found them in there. With all good things like pressed flowers and family pictures. Just goes to show you that you can't use a holy Bible for evil doings. God won't stand for it.
And so ended the mystery of Cliff Hoffey's death, solved by a devoted brother who took the case into his own hands. An absorbing story and a true story, for this has been another front page drama. Brought to you by the great new American Weekly. Naturally, real names have not been used. When asked by the great new American Weekly to write a love story which seemed to him one of the great loves of all time, famous author Frank Yerby thought at once of Manon Roland and Leonard Buzot, immortal figures of the French Revolution. According to Mr. Yerby, who calls his story The Divided Heart, the love of Manon and Leonard was compounded of nobility of character, honor, and renunciation. Elements sadly gone from our present world. Whenever possible in the story, the author has allowed the principals to speak for themselves. The letters quoted are their own words, set down exactly as translation will allow. To find out what was so unique about the love of Manon and Leonard, read The Divided Heart by Frank Yerby in the coming issue of the great new American Weekly, distributed with a leading Sunday newspaper on sale in this city.